With Ag News, I'm Nathan Steedley. The U.S. Department of Justice and six states have reached a settlement in their antitrust lawsuit against data company AgriStats. It's a move federal officials say could help lower meat prices for consumers. The lawsuit alleged AgriStats detailed weekly pricing and sales reports enabled anti-competitive behavior within the chicken, pork, and turkey industries. Under the settlement, the company will face new limits on the data it can collect and must make information available to meat buyers such as grocery stores and restaurants, not just processors. This Department of Justice is laser-focused on making everyday life affordable for all Americans. That coming from Todd Blanche, acting attorney general. The agreement, which still requires court approval, includes participation from California, Minnesota, North Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Utah. Officials say the changes are intended to increase transparency and competition throughout the meat supply chain. The Federal Trade Court has ruled that President Donald Trump unlawfully used Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974 to impose a 10% global tariff after the Supreme Court blocked his broader tariff plan earlier this year. Reports say the U.S. Court of International Trade found the administration's fallback tariff strategy exceeded presidential authority under the law. The divided three-judge panel blocked the tariffs for Washington State and two companies that challenged the policy, including spice importer Burlap and Barrel and toy maker Basic Fun. However, the ruling does not immediately halt the tariffs nationwide, meaning most importers will continue paying the duties while the case moves through appeals. Judges Mark Barnett and Claire Kelly wrote that Trump's tariff proclamation is invalid and the tariffs imposed on plaintiffs are unauthorized by law. Trade attorney Tim Brightbill called the ruling a decisive rejection of the administration's use of Section 122, though he noted the tariffs will largely remain in effect during the appeals process. U.S. grain export sales were mixed in the latest weekly report from the USDA. Soybean sales fell to their lowest level of the marketing year that began on September 1st. Soybean sales totaling just 141,000 metric tons in the week ending April 30th, down 45% from the previous week and 51% below the four-week average. China was the top buyer at 66,900 metric tons, followed by Japan and Indonesia. Corn sales reached 1.36 million metric tons, down 15% week over week, though exports jumped 28% to just over 2 million metric tons. Taiwan, Colombia, and South Korea were among the largest buyers. Wheat sales saw the steepest decline, plunging 65%, down to just over 78,000 metric tons as cancellations from unknown buyers in Indonesia offset purchases from Vietnam, Thailand, and Mexico. Despite the weaker sales, wheat exports rose 15% from the prior week. The National Milk Producers Federation praised a new USDA interim final rule expanding milk options in federal child nutrition programs, allowing schools to offer whole and 2% milk at breakfast and other federally supported meals. The rule implements key portions of the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act of 2025, signed into law back in January, and restores milk choices removed under federal nutrition standards that were adopted back in 2012. Under the updated policy, schools participating in the school breakfast program, special milk program, and child and adult care food program may now serve whole and 2% milk alongside existing 1% fat-free options. Today's announcement marks a significant step towards delivering whole and 2% milk back into schools. That coming from NNPF President and CEO Greg Dowd. Offering whole and 2% milk in schools helps students meet recommended daily values for many essential nutrients. That's been a look at your Ag News on KFEQ. I'm Nathan Steedley.